This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here in New Orleans as we continue another day from the Big Easy. I believe this will be my final day here. I've had a great time here. The city of New Orleans is unbelievable. It is my favorite Super Bowl location. The food's great. The drinking's great. The partying's great. And you could walk everywhere. So you could be basically a fat slob like I've been for the last week, eating all this delicious food, the po' boys, the gumbo, the jambalaya, right? All that stuff. And you end up walking so much. And I took 20,000 steps the other day, which is a lot of steps. I usually get about 13 to 15,000 steps when I'm in New York. But the steps have gone up and up and up over here. So hopefully that will cancel out a lot of the beignets that I did have. But this has just been unbelievable. And remember my buddy earlier where his flight was canceled that I told you about, Stu? That I went to the game with last night?
Of course.
He just texted me, "Dude, this is the craziest bleep. We deboarded and reboarded. They told us the flight was canceled. Then we deboarded, and now they are reboarding again to take off." So what they did was,
oh my God,
they deboarded, reboarded, then told them the flight's canceled. When they deboarded, they said, "Hold on, the flight's not canceled. We're going to reboard again."
Oh.
And now they're getting ready to take off. Oh my God. And Mike, didn't you sit on a runway for like 6 hours when you were trying to get here to New Orleans? I'm still here. And hopefully I get out today. I love New Orleans, love the people here, and the people are as kind as they could be. But didn't you have a massive flight issue on the way here, Samter?
Yeah, on the way in, it was a three-hour delay to start. They finally boarded us after 3 hours. Then we sat on the tarmac for 2.5 hours to de-ice the plane. And because they were de-icing for so long and we were waiting for so long, we ran low on fuel.
Yikes.
So we had to go back to the gate and refuel, then go back in line, get de-iced again, and then we took off. So we were on the runway for 4.5 hours. So the three-hour delay plus a 4.5 hours on the runway, 7.5-hour delay, we took off at midnight. I watched two full two-hour movies while we were sitting on the runway, Joker Part 2 and the SNL movie, and neither of which were very good.
That's crazy. And you know what, Mike, and I say this in a nice way, you were in a good mood last week. Usually, something like that happens. I would expect you to be in a little bit moody. I didn't really sense that from you, which I'm shocked.
Outside of throwing two broken pens in the trash that weren't working on day one, I think I kept my cool pretty well.
That's right. That was the one thing that I said to Mike this week. We were talking to someone, and I'm in the middle of talking to them. Right, a little question answered. I see Samter throw a pen across the convention center, and I go, "When I got a guest right next to me and I'm trying to concentrate, can you do me a favor? And can you not throw the pen?" And you know, who was it? Because what I asked that person, oh, it was Thomas
Dimitrov.
Yeah, because I asked him, I go, "Was there an edict from Woody Johnson when you were interviewing for the Jets GM job. And you go, oh, when I threw the pen, that's what I was telling you to ask. So two great minds, I guess, can think alike. So, man, that was something. So you had that bad of plane trouble. And I'm just hoping that everything works out okay. By the way, I'll get to news brief in just a second. But while I'm here in New Orleans, and right, the people here are awesome. We all know the terrible, terrible tragedy that happened here on New Year's. I don't know about you guys, Stu. I don't know how it looked on television. I'm just going off from inside the stadium. But Fox walking down the streets of New Orleans to the site of the attack of where it occurred, I thought was so powerful. I'm assuming you saw the same thing that I saw in the stadium on TV.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the better parts of the whole pregame, in-game coverage. It was pretty powerful for sure.
Yeah, it was really cool when you saw Sean Payton and you saw the officers, right, and some of the people that were walking down. That was really moving. And being in the stadium too with many people that are from New Orleans, it just sent a chill. It sent a chill up your spine. Without further ado, though, we will update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
By the way, since we're on the topic of airplane stories, when I went to the national championship game and I flew out day of, and I got out really early, but when I flew out the day of, I had the captain, the pilot, go, folks, we have a minor problem that could actually be a big problem. There was rain overnight and on the runway that we're at, and the way that the rain shifts and flows down at this terminal, it is preventing our fuel from getting to the plane so we could refuel. And then I saw the pilot put on two like big boots, walk down, he squeegeed away the rain because he said, we're not going to make you wait on this plane for 4 hours. We ended up waiting 2 hours, and they eventually got the water out of the way and then got the fuel to the plane so we could take off. So, you know, that's post-COVID, I'll tell you, the airlines have been an absolute mess. But anyway, talking about an absolute mess, how about the Kansas City Chiefs last night? Hey, by the way, Santa, hey, are you done with this Chiefs shtick? You gave up on the Jets, you said, to root for the Chiefs. They lose in the big game. Is that it? Are you now jumping off the Chiefs bandwagon?
You know it was never real. I was never a Chiefs fan. I'm always a Jets fan through and through. I've never rooted for the Chiefs. It was all nonsense. Jets, let's
so
go gangrene. Aaron Glenn is the man. Aaron Rodgers, get out of town. Let's go gangrene.
You almost just said, let's go Chiefs.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I mean, I may still have the Chiefs hat sitting up here, though.
Stu, you know what happens here? When someone lies so much about the sports team that they root for, they can't even get their story straight anymore. Mm. Because I've heard Mike talk about his Jets fandom to NFL prospects. And then I go, I thought you were a Chiefs fan. And he goes, oh, I'm at Kansas City. And then right there, when he's trying to say he's a Jet fan, he almost just did the Chiefs chant instead of the Jets, a Jets chant.
I will tell you this. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl next year, things might change again.
Yeah, we know that. But right now, you're in a mental blender like Patrick Mahomes was last night. Talking about Patrick Mahomes, let's hear from number 15. He takes blame for the loss up against the Eagles.
We didn't start how we wanted to. Obviously, the turnovers hurt. And, I mean, I take all the blame for that. I mean, just those early turnovers swing the momentum of the game, and then they capitalized on them, and they scored. I mean, they scored on the one, and then they got a touchdown immediately after. So that's 14 points that I kind of gave them, and it's hard to come back from that in the Super Bowl. And so just didn't play to my standard, and I have to be better next time. That's why I take ownership in this loss more than probably any loss in my entire career, is because I put us in a bad spot. And even though we put up some stats at the end of the game, those stats didn't really matter.
And he stunk. And I don't want to hear people go, oh, but the offensive line was horrible. Don't get me wrong. But still, there were moments where it wasn't the offensive line's fault, and he just stunk. And it's rare that Mahomes stinks. I think the world of him. I've already said he's a top three quarterback of all time. And right when it's all said and done, I think he'll end up going down as the second greatest quarterback to play this game. And that's not a slight. just my opinion on this, but now two Super Bowls where he's been blown out in. And this one was actually worse than the Tampa Bay one, because I think there was more sympathy for him in the Tampa Bay one and more excuse-making. That Bond interception was terrible. The DeJean interception was terrible. And even on the strip sack, that led to points as well. So that's 17 points right there, pretty much off turnovers. So they did nothing. And you go back in the first three quarters, up until that drive at the end, it was just punt, 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 negative yards, like maybe at most 17 yards. It was just surreal seeing that play out. And it's one of the great defensive performances in an individual game that I've ever seen what the Eagles were able to do. Here is Patrick Mahomes and the future of Travis Kelce.
He's done enough to be a gold jacket guy and first ballot Hall of Famer. But I know he still has love for the game, and he'll get to spend some time with his family and make that decision on his own. But, I mean, he knows he'll come back here with welcome arms. We love that guy, not only for the football player, but the person that he is every single day.
Stu, do you think that was the last time that we saw Taylor Swift's boyfriend playing an NFL game?
I think we'll see one more year. I think next year is the final year.
Yeah, I think he's going another year. And maybe earlier in the week, he just wanted to squash that storyline. So he just said he'll go play three more years. I don't think anyone believed that. But would I be shocked if he retires? I wouldn't be shocked, but I expect that he'll be back for one more season. Let's hear from Travis Kelce what went wrong in the game.
I think there was a lot of things going wrong. Can't just say that it was just the O-line or anything like that. I think it was accumulated of everything, not really going our way today.
Yeah, not that it really changes the game, but he had a bad drop in the game as well, him and DeAndre Hopkins. Let's go to Andy Reid on this loss to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Spent a lot of hours doing it as players, as coaches, so it's going to hurt. They all hurt when you get to this level and these things happen. Three-peat aside or any of that stuff, that you get this far and you don't play as well as you want to, it hurts.
And let's hear one more from Andy Reid. Was his team impact? I haven't heard this one yet. If he says yes, this is a horrible answer. So I don't know. I'm going into this blind. Andy Reid, was your team impacted by the three-peat pressure?
Listen, I don't think so. I mean,
good.
It's hard playing in this. I mean, this is a tough game. It's best against the best. And so I think they're more focused on that than they are three-peats and all that stuff. That wasn't a big issue there.
And then here is DeAndre Hopkins and all the referee chatter. Let's get all the excuses out of the way.
I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously what y'all going to say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all going to report that? Are y'all going to talk about the refs now?
I just think that's lame. And that's the big takeaway for the Chiefs. The referee chatter, if anything, definitely more than a three-peat chatter, it seemed to just personally annoy them. And there's no reason for you to personally get annoyed by it when you're the dynasty, you're the villain, just embrace being the villain, right? Like, who cares? So people want to say it's rigged. So what? Just go win. And they weren't able to do that. They'll still be back. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. But it was weird. The buildup to the game, I mentioned the referee talk and how the Chiefs field affected by that afterwards when you get stomped, right? This is like Tampa Bay and the Raiders. This is like the Seahawks and the Broncos, right? We talk about terrible games in the Super Bowl. The Giants and the Ravens, this is right up there. This was an absolute beatdown, and the game was over, quite frankly, at halftime and maybe even sooner before that. Here is DeAndre Hopkins, one more from him on Patrick Mahomes' poor performance.
He's human, so I think you guys see that he's human. They converted off our mistakes. And so, he's a human being, man, and I guess the world got to see that.
And that's the stunning part, because now we've seen him be a human being twice in the big game. Now, against the Bucks, and then this go-around. And he's phenomenal, right? Two MVPs, three Super Bowl MVPs, three Super Bowl championships, all at this young age. But my oh my, that was his worst performance ever last night. And he had happy feet. He was jittery. He quickly didn't trust his offensive line. And he just couldn't do anything. And I mean anything. He was nowhere close to just being average in that game. That was as bad as we've ever seen Patrick Mahomes look. All right, let's get to the winners from last night, the Philadelphia Eagles. Here is Nick Sirianni via Fox on the critics.
We didn't really ever care what anyone thought about how we won or their opinions. All we wanted to do is win. That's why we listened to my prerogative a little bit when we were after some wins. But thank God. Thank you, Jesus.
So how about that from Nick Sirianni? A great redemption story. Last year they were 10-1 with one game down the stretch. Everyone thought it was over for him, including myself. Eagles ended up keeping him, and now a year later they are Super Bowl champions. Let's go to Jalen Hurts and quieting the critics, NFL Network.
I can't control what these people think, but if it takes all the hate and all the scrutiny and all the different opinions for me to be a world champion, then keep it coming.
I'll tell you, Stu, but really with Jalen Hurts, he has an aura about him. Now, I know his personality could be bland, but this could be the best-dressed quarterback in the NFL. Jalen Hurts just looks so freaking cool, if I'm just being honest.
Yeah, nothing really impacts him either way. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And sometimes, I wanted to show a little emotion. You know, when things aren't going well, I think it's good when a leader shows some frustration, if it's somewhat controlled. But there are times where he wins, and you would think he loses. And it's really crazy. This is one of the great competitors. It really is. And what a tremendous underdog story. Getting benched at Alabama, stays at Alabama, needed in the SEC championship game when Tua got hurt. And, you know, obviously the year before got benched in the national championship game, goes to Oklahoma, become Heisman Trophy finalist. You win, you make it to the college football playoff. And now in Philadelphia, you've been to two Super Bowls, outplayed Mahomes in both those Super Bowls, and ended up winning one. What a phenomenal story. Saquon Barkley on the ESPN when he knew this team was special.
I look to my left and there's Jalen, and I see the O-line, and you see AJ, Smitty, Dallas. Right there, I knew we have a special team, and my job was just try to add anything that I can. They've been to the Super Bowl already, and I just wanted to add anything I can, whether it's in leadership, whether it's running the ball, and I'm just happy to be part of this team and be world champs.
So, Stu, when did you turn on the TV last night? Just wondering.
Eastern time, so I'm not big into
the pregame hoopla.
Yes, so it was maybe 5:20 Eastern time, so like
45 minutes to an hour before the game, right?
Yeah,
a little over an hour.
Yeah, a little over an hour because it didn't kick off till I think like 6:30-ish Eastern time. So yeah, about an hour, I'd say.
Did they show you the Strahan interview with Saquon Barkley in that time?
I did not.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I did not see it in that time. No.
So I've only seen a clip of this. I guess they're on a boat or something. You have Michael Strahan waving an Eagles flag in support of Saquon Barkley.
Ugh.
And he said, I only do this for you, which I never thought I would see that image. And by the way, did you see anything about Shad Khan's yacht? Just wondering.
I think I saw a post from you, if I'm not mistaken.
Crazy.
It was on Twitter or Instagram, one or the other. Yeah, that looked pretty
right
nuts.
Outside our hotel, Liam Cohen messed up. He shouldn't have demanded to get Trent Baalke fired. He should have just demanded for that yacht. That yacht was unbelievable. Anyway, more of Saquon Barkley, how he felt about the Eagles before joining them, NFL Network.
6 months ago, I couldn't stand this team. And you know how things work. I'm forever grateful for everything that went on in New York and got nothing but love for those guys. And hopefully, they're super proud of me and seeing me in this moment. But the opportunity came where I had to make the decision for me and my family. And me and my family felt like coming to Philadelphia, I'll be able to expand my legacy. I'll be able to show the world the type of player I am, and I'll be able to compete for a championship.
You know, I don't think people will expect this to be coming from me. Just because they hear me and they're like, oh, this is a loud talk show host. Zach always seems angry. Like, I'm a human being at the end of the day. It was pretty cool seeing the players interact with their kids and, right, their loved ones and their families in the hotel. We were staying in the Eagles Hotel. That's where they put us up. Saquon Barkley running around with his kids, in the hotel was pretty damn cool. And today, this morning, you win the Super Bowl, right, Stu? And my buddy goes, I wonder where they go after the game. I go, they're coming back to the hotel. There's going to be a party in the hotel. This is what they always do. They get a big ballroom in the hotel, and they have a party. Well, this morning, the buffet that we ate at in the hotel lobby every morning pretty much when we were out there in New Orleans, guy just won a Super Bowl. He's Saquon Barkley, and he's eating at the buffet that Zach Gelb and Andrew Paul are eating at with his whole family.
That's great.
It was crazy. Being with the players and their families and all that through this week, it was wild. We came back from dinner, a company dinner one night, and Saquon just walks right down the escalator. Wild, the access that we got. Like, I saw Brandon Graham, and I know Brandon. Brandon's coming to the show a lot, and Brandon's just such a personal guy. He's talking to me for like 10, 15 minutes. This guy's getting ready for a Super Bowl. So it was neat being at the hotel, really was. Finally, here's Brandon Graham on the NFL Network. Is he going to retire?
Let me tell you this. I'm about to enjoy this parade. I'm about to enjoy this offseason. And if that's if this the way we going to go, hey, I'm loving it. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just thankful to be able to suit up this last one. And, man, my family got to see it. And, boy, two rings.
That's awesome.
That's what it is. Happy on that.
Let's run this back now.
Hey, coach, that's what I say. I'm just in the moment right now.
Right.
I ain't even thought that far.
Now, I used to send Kelsey kegs of beer to entice him. You got to tell me what you want, okay?
Hey, Kels got him one too, baby. Hey.
I think that's it for him. I don't know that, but I remember when he was on this show earlier this season saying he just wants to get one more. And I even said, well, what happens if you don't win it? Would you come back? And he kind of left it open. And then you had this big injury when he was having a great season. And then he was able to return for the Super Bowl. I think that's the perfect way to ride off into the sunset. And that's what I think Brandon Graham is going to do. One of the great Philadelphia sports athletes of all time. Made the biggest play in the history of Philadelphia sports, in the history of that franchise. And now is able to get a second ring as well on top of that. So that's a news brief. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show, and we might answer your question. And you can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Coming on back, more from New Orleans after these short messages. This is The Zach Gelb Show. So a lot of celebrity sightings last night at the hotel that we've been staying at, which is the Eagles Hotel, and they had their big party after the game last night. I told you I met Shane Gillis last night, which was awesome. Gilly was at the party, too. Big X the Plug was phenomenal. You know, played for about 25, 30 minutes, and I'm a big fan of his. You also had Diplo perform as well. But there were two more sightings last night, Stu, that I couldn't believe. So to set the scene a little bit, you had, and one, I'm kidding in celebrity sightings, but I thought it was funny, and I'll give you the image in a second, but this was an actual celebrity, and associated with the NFL, and this is someone that is in the news a lot for who he is dating to now these days. But the team buses come on back, and there's two different entrances, and you have the players and the coaches, for the most part, coming through the main entrance, because, right, you have all the fans waiting there. They want to do the high fives, right? Take some selfies and kind of engage with the fans. It's a pretty cool moment after you win a Super Bowl. So in the side entrance, you still have to walk through the front, but there's a way that you kind of quickly walk through and then like dip off to the right, and then they could bring you around from where all the herd of people were that were standing there. You have any ideas, Stu, who walked in the side entrance and then get escorted out towards the main entrance, try to avoid all the fans that were there?
Not a clue.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. NFL is known for who he's dating right now. Not for his career, but just right now. We have a lot of fun at this guy's expense.
I'm drawing a blank.
This is a huge person for me. Huge person. We talk about him a lot.
Josh Allen?
Not Josh Allen. Nowhere close. But good guess, actually.
Can
good
I get
guess.
A division, maybe?
You're in the right ballpark on the division.
Okay.
Not an active, not active in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
You know who it is?
Oh, Belichick.
Yep.
Oh, of course.
Bill Belichick with his girlfriend walks right by us, 24 years old.
Oh, my God.
Now, I don't know. Maybe he got... I don't think Belichick was staying in our... They could have been. But maybe he was at the game and then just... Right, because he knows people on the Eagles. I think he's very friendly with Howie Roseman. Maybe they just gave him a ride back. But my, oh, my. I was not expecting that. Right? Like, you don't get shocked by anyone walking in, but you would think it'd only be people associated with the Eagles. Or if it was just a megastar that's going to perform at the Super Bowl party. But then it was Bill Belichick and his 24-year-old girlfriend, who, by the way, the big boss, Ryan Hurley, and I, we went out on Bourbon Street one night. And, you know, we went to some party that Donovan McNabb and Michael Irvin were hosting. But before that, we went to a bar. And when we walked in, someone else that works for our network said, you just missed Belichick and his girlfriend by 5 minutes. So that they were at like every party. They went to all the big events, which I don't know how Bill has the stamina for that. I guess she keeps him young, if you know what I'm saying. But she is the 24-year-old life, right? I think she's 24, operating as how a 24-year-old should. And Bill's got to hang at these events. So that was just wild. The other thing that I just thought was funny at this party, and it was really cool, right, meeting Shane Gillis, and seeing all the players there and right everyone celebrate, and the food and the drinks was awesome. But I didn't realize that there was going to be some media there. Like, Perloff and I were there, but like we're radio hosts, right? It's a little bit different. Like, we're in the media, but we're not like your traditional media journalists and things like that. I saw, sitting at a table, it was Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer, Albert Breer, and Mike Silver. They were getting content from there, and then it was so funny because you're at this loud party, right? All these stars are there. There's all this live music. People are drinking, celebrating. They're having fun. And I see Jeff McClain, Mike Silver, and Albert Breer with their headphones on, like furiously typing away, making sure that they get all their articles. It just felt so out of place. And they're just doing their jobs. But I just thought it was really funny. And I was pretty cool to be at that party last night. And man, it was just a who's who's of celebrities and a lot of good music. Everyone that performed last night, they should have been the halftime act instead of Kendrick Lamar, who was just absolutely terrible from everything I read. And, you know, just observe, too. Because sometimes, right, I say this all the time, when you're in the stadium for the game, it's not made for us in the stadium. It's made for people at home. So I'll have to go back and watch the halftime show coming up later. But the game was an absolute blowout. You had Jalen Hurts win the Super Bowl MVP. Cooper DeJean was awesome. Zach Bond was awesome. Vic Fangio with one of the all-time great game plans. And then just the horrible performances by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And also that offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, real quickly, guys, let's just do this. We'll go around the room here. In your guys' opinion, did the Super Bowl MVP go to the right person? Don't tell me who you would have voted for if it wasn't Jalen Hurts. But, Stu, yes or no, did the Super Bowl MVP go to the right person?
Yes.
Samter?
Nope.
Okay. If I was given the award out, I have no problem with Hurts winning it because the Chiefs, they took away Saquon Barkley, or contained, they bottled up Saquon Barkley compared to his normal standards. When Jalen Hurts threw the touchdown pass at Devontae Smith, I thought that was it for the MVP, and that's when I thought he was going to win it. And now this is two Super Bowls, he's outplayed Patrick Mahomes. But when I think of this Super Bowl, I think of defense. And if you get a touchdown in a Super Bowl, you know, you don't automatically win the MVP, right? Nick Bolton had a touchdown when the Chiefs beat the Eagles. Von Miller had a touchdown. Now, he did win a Super Bowl MVP. But I personally, if I was voting, I would have gone with Cooper DeJean because that pick six, even though it only made it 17-0, Ansel Cataldi joined us early. That's when he thought the game was over and that this was going to be a blowout. I didn't think the game was over until Zach Bond made the interception. I thought that was the most important part of the game. But that pick six for Cooper DeJean, that's when I started to think, okay, that's your Super Bowl MVP. Because the flow of the game early on, it was not very offensive, and this was a defensive battle, and I thought that was the first big-time play in the Super Bowl. So I would have given it to Cooper DeJean, but I do not have a problem with it being Jalen Hurts. So, Stu, if I took Hurts off the board and I just went with Cooper DeJean, who would you then give the MVP to if you can't go Jalen Hurts, if you can't go Cooper DeJean?
So I think Mike is going to go with the person that I would probably pick next, but assuming that guy is off the board too. How about Milton Williams? I mean,
he was phenomenal.
He was amazing in the middle, got the two sacks, got the fumble recovery. I just think if we're talking about big guys in the middle being impact players, I don't think he would have been the first guy that we thought of.
No, you absolutely wouldn't. And there's always someone that ends up being a Super Bowl hero that you don't anticipate it from. And he's had a good season, obviously. Like last year for the Chiefs, it was Mike Pinnell. That was a very Mike Pinnell type of performance by Milton Williams. And he was just a game wrecker and he was a force to be reckoned with. And it does help when you're standing next to Jalen Carter and have about seven people trying to stop Jalen Carter. And that forearm that he delivered on Patrick Mahomes, that was some good old school football. I did enjoy watching that. All righty, Mike, who's yours?
We kind of joked about it, how the Jalen Hurts banner right to our left in the radio row also featured Josh Sweat, who didn't seem like he belonged, but yet he probably
was. Well, hold on. Let's clarify something. Josh Sweat, the football player, belonged, but from a marketing standpoint, right, when you talk about the Eagles, right, it's Saquon Barkley, it's Jalen Hurts, it's A.J. Brown, and when you only had two players on a banner, and if you were going to tell me defensive player, I would have thought Jalen Carter, right? That's what I would have thought. I was just not expecting Josh Sweat to be on the banner next to Jalen Hurts as the only two Eagles on Radio Row on the banner.
100%. If you were to give me six guys on the defense, I would have not maybe put Josh Sweat in that six between Cooper DeJean and Darius Big Play Slay and Jalen Carter and Quinion Mitchell and Nolan Smith and Zach Bond. You could have gone on and on and on. Josh Sweat's a great player, but there's so many good players on that defense that you may have just overlooked him. He was a monster, and I feel like the MVP, yes, Jalen Hurts had a nice game, but we talked about this earlier. The offense looked good, but they didn't look great. They took advantage of a lot of turnovers from KC and a lot of mistakes from KC, but the offense wasn't great for the Eagles. The defense was great. Somebody from that defense needed to win the MVP. Cooper DeJean made the biggest play, but outside of that one play, I don't remember hearing his name called. I didn't hear his name called the rest of the game outside of that one monstrous play. We heard Josh Sweat's name called over and over and over and over again. Someone on the defense should have won MVP, and Sweat was the best player last night, so he should have gotten it.
So let me just ask you this. If you remember this Super Bowl based off one person in this Super Bowl, different than MVP, just when you talk about this Super Bowl, whether it's from the winning side or the losing side, who's the first person that's going to come to mind, Samter? Who would be your person?
Man, probably Sirianni or Fangio? Or are we talking about players?
No, just one. One person. Could be a player, could be a coach. Just give me one.
I'm going to go Sirianni.
Really? Oh, that's the first person you think of?
Yeah. Because, like I said, on the defensive side, there was like five or six guys who were very good that not one was like so dominant that they just took over the game. They were all great. On offense, like I said, Jalen Hurts had a nice game, but not a great game. Nick Sirianni was the one who really just, him and Fangio. So I guess I'll go Sirianni because I don't know if I'll remember Fangio 10 years from now.
But yeah, so let me just say this. Number one. To me, if you're going to remember Sirianni, I think it's just a storyline. From what happened last year, 10-1 in the collapse. You know, Kellen Moore calls the plays, but just how that locker room was broken and Sirianni found a way to get it back to be Super Bowl champion. So that's interesting you said Sirianni. Stu, who's the first name that you're going to remember on this Super Bowl? Either winner or loser, does not matter. Just the first name, period.
I would say Cooper, just because of the
really
the birthday, the big picks. Yeah, the pick six. I think that kind of turned the game.
So if I had to give you two, Vic Fangio would be one, because that is one of the all-time great game plans and one of the all-time great defensive performances that we've seen in the Super Bowl. And, you know, those Dolphins players that were complaining, we don't like Vic. Oh, come on, I don't think Vic was the problem. And then you know what? It's also Mahomes. Because Mahomes, that is as bad as I've ever seen Mahomes play. When I look back at this Super Bowl, no disrespect to Jalen Hurts, no disrespect to Zach Bond, no disrespect to Cooper DeJean, no disrespect to Nick Sirianni, right? When I look back at this Super Bowl, the first two people I think of are Vic Fangio and obviously in a positive way and then in a negative way, Patrick Mahomes. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, always on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb. ZACHGELB. We'll take a timeout, last one of the day. Update time. Here's Zach. All right, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jermaine in San Francisco says, Zach, the Eagles overcame adversity from last season to win the Super Bowl. Who is a team that suffered some adversity this year that could win it all next season? So, suffering adversity. You know, the Bills had a great regular season, bad ending. To me, that's not comparable to the Eagles. The Lions, great regular season, terrible second round. That's not, to me, you know, this crazy adversity comparing it to where the Eagles were. You know, so let's go. I know that the Eagles made the playoffs last year, but I'll say teams that missed the playoffs this year, that's the way that I'll do this, who have a chance to win a Super Bowl next year. Cowboys, no. Giants, no. Cardinals, no. Seahawks, no. Niners are definitely one. Bears, no. Falcons, no. Panthers, no. Saints, no. In the AFC, Dolphins, no. Jets, no. Patriots, no. Raiders, no. Hot take right there. Bengals, I could see the Bengals. Browns, no. Colts, no. Jaguars, no. And the Titans, no. So I would say, yeah, if you had to give me two teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that could win the Super Bowl next year, I would go with the Bengals in the AFC, and then in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers. Hey, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this before we got an ad of here today, and then I want to make one comment on Jeffrey Lurie. Amy Lawrence did sign off of her national radio program today, and she has hosted at the network since the inception of our network, and I just wanted to make mention of this today. I did reach out to Amy and congratulated her on what has been a phenomenal run at this network, and those are big shoes to fill because that's not an easy shift to do. I did the weekends overnights from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, and to have that schedule, living in New York, even though you're broadcasted nationally, but it's a really fun community of listeners. You know, I've said this all the time. If it wasn't for the hours, I would love to do 2 to 6 a.m., especially on a national network, because you're on all the major cities. You get people up late at night calling you. You never know if they're coming back from a late night or they're just getting up to start their day. And that was some of the most fun I've ever had doing radio, whether it was filling in for Amy when I first got to the network or doing the weekend overnights. But man, what a career for Amy Lawrence. She's not retiring. We'll see what else she does. But I think it's just time for her to try something new in her career. And right, the hours could get to people. And Amy is now married too. So she probably just wanted something else that was probably a little bit easier on her schedule. But Amy has been a mainstay at this network, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You know, we go around the country. People know the show. Leroy Horde, I remember, I met him at a Super Bowl. He goes, oh, how's Amy doing? Because he would listen to Amy as he was getting ready to go into work and things like that. So as someone that has done this job for a while, and Amy's done it for a lot longer, there's just a lot of respect when you're able to do that job for that long. And it's very tough to keep a job in this business. And for her to leave on her own, not us getting rid of her, right? That's not always easy to do because it's tough to walk away from jobs like this. But man, hats off to Amy. And I was exchanging a few messages with her, and she's going to be missed here at the Infinity Sports Network. And we'll see where she does land and where she goes next. But nothing but the best to Amy Lawrence. And if you are a listener of hers that also listens to us, we obviously thank you. And we continue to hope that you listen to the Infinity Sports Network across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, and the free Odyssey app. And as for what's next for that show and that slot, I don't have a damn clue, right? When news like that comes out, since I do afternoons on the national level, I get a bevy of messages from fans. And people say, hey, who's going to take over? Who's going to replace Amy? I don't have a damn clue, right? You could speculate who you want. It's not my place to do so. And also, I don't make the decision at the end of the day. You know, there's a lot of quality candidates in the building, and there's a lot of quality candidates outside the building. Because our network, people want to be a part of it. You know, being here in New Orleans, man, how many people come up and they talk about the network? You know, it was pretty surreal when I was sitting there, you know, walking around Bourbon Street. Shouldn't say sitting. When I was walking around Bourbon Street, and people are coming up to me, you know, hey, listen to the show. Oh, I heard the Warren Sapp interview. Oh, I heard other things that you've done as well. So it's pretty neat when you get to go on the road and you get to meet people, whether they're in the industry or if they're just fans, and you get to interact with them. So pretty neat. And that's the community here. I would say this about our network on a national network. And DA, who's no longer, I was going to say he's no longer with us. Makes it sound like he's dead. He just works at Sirius. But DA, who is no longer on this network, he did a really good job in building a community with our network where it's tough when you do a national show because you have to hit so many different topics, so many different markets. You try to make it a family atmosphere here. And I think that's what separates us from other networks is we do national sports radio, but we kind of give you a local feel and a local spin to it as well. And that creates a very fun community because, right, I've done radio locally, nationally when you do local radio, it's almost like you become like the cult leader sometimes. And, you know, being to many events with our network, it's pretty neat when you get to meet the listeners, because without the listeners, we'd be nobodies. You know, that's just the truth. None of us would have jobs if it wasn't for the listeners. So just wanted to make a note on that and give a little salute. And, you know, I will raise my empty Starbucks glass to Amy and say cheers on a wonderful run here at what was CBS Sports Radio and what is now the Infinity Sports Network. Anyway, before we run, here's the part that we didn't talk about today. Jeffrey Lurie, one of the best owners in sports right now. The Eagles are a family. The Eagles are a community. Eagles have some of the most passionate fans. And Jeffrey Lurie delivered that franchise their first ever Super Bowl championship, and now he's got two rings. Right? You look at that Eagles team, and you look at that culture, and you look at the way that Jeffrey Lurie is able to run a franchise. Man, that's as good of an owner as there is in sports. I'm not saying he's the best, but if you want to make the case for it, I have to go through that and think about that more. But if you want to say Jeffrey Lurie is one of the best owners in sports, I think that's very tough to debate. I do. And now you have two championships, and I think the brand of the Eagles, right, money-wise, always goes up and up and up with these NFL teams. But you win one championship, it was, oh, man, they had all that heartbreak for all those years. People never thought that was going to happen, and they win it. You win a second championship, I think it raises the way that people view you as an organization, especially when it's not like, oh, you win one in Super Bowl like 4, I'm just throwing out random numbers, and then you go win one at 50. Like, when you win one this quickly, right, in NFL terms, Super Bowl 52 and Super Bowl 59, and even when the Eagles weren't winning Super Bowls, there was a sustained level of success for my lifetime where they would always be in the mix, and that's all you could ask for is just be in the mix, and that's a big credit to Jeffrey Lurie. And great organizations starts at the top, then you empower people to make the right decisions, and it trickles on down, and a great owner gives his opinion when he needed to but doesn't meddle, right? That's Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey Lurie is a phenomenal owner. So when we go through all this today, Sirianni praise, Jalen Hurts praise, A.J. Brown praise, Devontae Smith praise, Eagles offensive line praise, Vic Fangio praise. You go through it over and over and over, right? Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Cooper DeJean. You give me all the names that you want. And Josh Sweat, Saquon Barkley, like whoever it is. It all starts with Jeffrey Lurie. And he is the straw that stirs the drink. And now the Eagles are on a different level of a franchise, as now they have won two Super Bowl championships. All righty, big thanks to everyone, whether it is our great listeners on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and our YouTube chatters. Fun shows in New Orleans. I will talk to you tomorrow from New York City. Congratulations to the Eagles. All righty, we out. Bye-bye. Peace.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.